The Fan on Demand.
How much fun are we having? Game 7 in the Eastern Conference of the Stanley Cup playoffs and a tiebreaker tonight at the MasterCard Memorial Cup on Rogers Sportsnet. Hockey Central at noon, Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590, simulcast on Rogers Sportsnet Ontario. We have to broaden this show. Take it beyond Sportsnet Ontario. Sportsnet Pacific with the Vancouver Canucks going into the Stanley Cup Championship Series for the first time since 1994. We're waiting for the start of that one coming up next Wednesday. Busy weekend of hockey at the Hershey Center with Darren Millard and Doug McLean. Nick Kiprios will be by as well. Damian Cox has joined the panel. I don't know whether it's full-time, whether he's taking the tiebreaker off tonight and coming back for the semifinal and the final.
But yeah, we have him there just to gauge the crowd and how the emotions are in the attendance. When he starts talking hockey, I get nervous. But anyway, just talking to Jill, and she's on her way to Alaska on a 10-day kayaking trip, and she's really concerned if she's going to be able to get this show. So I'm hoping, as they're on that 10-day trip, that because it should be devastating not to get this for 10 days and be totally up on everything going on in hockey.
Sirius Channel 157.
Did the satellite radio?
Yes.
Satellite phone get that, I wonder?
Satellite radio.
Oh, okay. Anyway. It was nice to have Cox with us. I mean, yeah, I guess it was. The bosses like it, so I'll go along with it. I don't care if he's there or not.
What's your issue with Damian?
Nothing. I like Damian. I like him.
Like, you're very confrontational this week.
It's the cold.
You're not getting along with anybody.
It's my cold. I know I've been getting along with you. Somebody sent me a note today about the fact that you're going to be spending... And this blogger, whoever the hell he is, what's his, does he have a name?
Ignore him.
But anyway, does he know you have a cottage on our beach? Because that really would concern him.
You're now blaming traffic for your bad moods. Like all of a sudden.
No, listen. So
it's a big surprise that you can't get to the Hershey Center in 15 minutes from downtown Toronto.
I'm not a great traffic guy around Toronto, but when you go to the bottom of Jarvis and it's blocked off totally for three buses, and then you say, okay, I'm going to go down Richmond or one of these, and I'm going to get on the Gardner somewhere else, and you get by Spadina and because there's no left turns, and then you end up on the, what's that road along the water?
Lakeshore. Boy, that was a tough one to come up with.
And then Lakeshore.
What's that road along the water?
So then I'm stuck on Lakeshore for an hour trying to get back on the Gardner. Anyway, an hour and 50 minutes is all it took me to get to the Hershey Center. And I know now today I will not touch the Lakeshore for sure.
How about this? And people driving around right now, you'll be able to relate. Why not leave a little bit earlier?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Why not?
Well, because I've had to have naps because I haven't been good with the cold and the voice and things. I've had to have naps and try to be rested for these late night shifts. But anyway, I feel good today. I feel better. And yeah.
So you're struggling out of the gate a lot like Tim Thomas has the last couple of days.
No, I'm struggling, but the bosses have been telling me I've been absolutely fantastic on the intermission. So are they BSing me? Or
No. The intermissions are fine. It's the pregame show where you're getting there flustered. And you're having trouble just controlling your emotion. Is that the same for the Boston Bruins goaltender right now? Because they're starting down a goal every game. And going into a game 7 scenario, that could be the entire game.
10 bad goals in a series. Have you ever seen that? A guy that's going to win the Vezina Trophy.
No, not from a winning team.
No, exactly. You're going into the 7th game. Your goalie's given up 10 bad goals in the series. I think there's been 10 bad goals. And he's going to win the Vezina? Like, what's wrong with that pitcher? It doesn't seem to make sense to me. And I mean, I'm not.
Well, Vezina Trophy winners have struggled in the playoffs before.
10 bad goals in one series? I've never seen that in my life. I'm serious. I've never seen 10 bad goals in a. You don't see 10 bad goals in your rec league game. Well, yeah.
Well, from the other guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Not for me.
Yeah. So, I mean, Tim Thomas, I mean, does he not owe them? I mean, I know he's won them a ton of games. And I know he I know they love Tim Thomas, but does he not have to give them a big-time performance? And Rowley has not been very good either. I mean, he was rested. Boucher rested him, and he was just fair. Now, I just saw the game after the junior game. I had taped it on my TV, and is it called taping, or what do you call it now?
Well, PVRing.
Yeah, PVRing.
I don't think you have to say you taped it onto your TV. You're not taping it on your microwave or anything.
Okay. So anyway, I watched it quickly, and I lots of goals I just don't like. So, you know, I think both goaltenders owe their teams a big game in Game 7, which should make for a great night. You know, Chera plays over 30 minutes. I don't know. Who would you pick to win this? Seriously, who would you pick?
I'm going to take Tampa Bay Lightning.
In Game 7.
So that means playing on the road doesn't bother them.
No, it doesn't.
Dwayne Rolison
can score.
Dwayne Rolison in elimination games,
and Marty
is out of his mind.
Right, and Marty St. Louis. What can you say about Marty St. Louis? What can you say about this kid at 37? I was talking to a guy about, you know, the other night about Brad Richards and the signing of Brad Richards. I mean, people say, well, he's 31, and you're saying, okay, Brad Richards is a fitness guy. I mean, Brad Richards trains as hard as anybody in the offseason. He's a smart, smart guy. He works extremely hard in conditioning with Eli McCachran in Charlottetown. And he's going to get an 8-year deal. And people are saying, well, that would be frightening to sign him on a 7 or 8-year deal. And I'm saying, okay, Marty St. Louis is 37. So it's interesting.
There's a difference, though. There's a concussion concern. I think more with Richards.
He's had one concussion. How can there be a concussion concern? How many has Marty St. Louis had?
Look how much time he missed. Would you not be slightly nervous about that?
I wouldn't be. No, I wouldn't be. So it'll be interesting to see where Brad signs. There's been rumblings that Brad Richards does not want to play in Toronto. And I'm not buying that. I don't believe that. And I will find that out. I'll ask Brad because I've seen it and I've heard it. And I'm not buying it. I'm sure that Brad Richards would be open to playing in Toronto.
There's also the other side of it with Brian Burke is on record saying he doesn't like those really long deals.
I would think it would start at 12 years and up now.
Yeah.
I think it's changed now. It's up to 12 years. Don't you think?
For Richards?
No, I think Richards will be a 7 or 8 year deal.
And where's the 12-year thing coming
from? Brian doesn't like 12-year deals.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, imagine him with a Kessel. Anyway, we're getting away from our topic a touch, but I was just talking to somebody the other night about Brad. Happen to be his agent, Pat Morris, I was talking to, by the way.
Darren Millard, Doug McLean on Hockey Central at noon, doing some work for the agents, among other things, covering the Stanley
Cup
playoffs.
Trying to do some work for the Leafs. The Leafs, Newport Sports, and fellow Islander Brad Richards.
And this is a scenario for the Tampa Bay Lightning with Steven Stamkos.
The reason I went to Brad Richards, not to interrupt, is because there's rumblings it's New York or Tampa is where he really wants to play. Okay. Now, how does he go to Tampa with LeCavalier and Stamkos? Not a chance.
No, it's because they still have to get Stamkos done.
Exactly. So that's why I brought Richards up. That's why it tweaked me.
Well, it sure took you a long time
to
get
there. Sorry. Apologize.
Was that the best game you've seen Steve Downey play?
Steve Downey deserves a ton of credit. Much maligned, maybe deservedly so, since being drafted. Struggles in junior. This kid has become a real good player. And Boucher, Stevie Yzerman, St. Louis, Stamkos, somebody deserves a lot of credit for this because Steve Downey has become a very good player right now and a very important player on the Tampa Bay Lightning. And from everything I'm hearing, a popular kid on the team. And that, you know, that to me, somebody deserves a lot of credit, not the least being Steve Downey.
You always knew he would have an impact on a game.
Yeah.
Physically.
But
he would get in your face.
He's always been a talented kid, too.
I didn't know whether or not he had the discipline to be able to come up and make plays the way he did last night.
But he's always been a talented guy.
I realize, you know, that.
And yeah, I agree. I don't disagree with you. But he's been that good and that important. And I'll tell you who's really benefited from him is Bergenheim. Bergenheim with the goals, and Moore is a good, solid guy. But this kid, to me, deserves a ton of credit. And, you know, I mean, the people that have helped him along the way deserve it, too.
Look up. Hey, look up. When you're going to talk, you got to look up and into the mic.
Oh, okay. What's this, a media training session
well,
now,
no,
too?
When you start typing
you sound like the guy doing the games about my mic. I mean, Ed Hall, I mean, like, does he think it's the first time I've done TV with my mic out there? I mean, come on, Ed.
Well, it's true, though. Eddie Hall is the producer at the MasterCard Memorial Cup for Rogers Sportsnet, and he just told Doug last night, when Doug holds his mic and he turns his head, take the mic with you. Don't just leave it in the middle, because when you turn your head, you can't
hear. Mackenzie just said, tell Darren he's so clever with the you aren't tapping it on the mic, taping it on the microwave. Mackenzie just wanted to know you're very clever saying that.
Mackenzie's your daughter.
Yes, and she's not impressed, obviously.
No, she is impressed. Who loves making fun of their dad more than the kid?
No, she doesn't appreciate that, Mackenzie. My daughter, Mackenzie, does not appreciate you being a smartass with
me. Oh, she's got a whole summer of that coming
we
up.
We won't see you that much this summer. Tell the blogger that.
The Boston Bruins get a hat trick out of David Krejci. And how concerned are you when you score the
goals? Tell the blogger Richie Rich has a gate up at his cottage.
You don't have it. Do you have a gate?
Yeah, we have a gate.
I have a gate, too.
Yeah. With no extra keys.
Ignore the blogger, okay?
I get a kick out of him.
Now, Julian and Guy Boucher both played these games with the officials.
Do we not see it every year?
Well, we saw it from Mike Gillis in the first round.
Every series. You know, it's we're seeing it even in the Memorial Cup. You know, we really, you just see it in every series. And the supervisors of officials, the gamesmanship that goes on, we don't even hear about or see. But trust me, there's a constant conversation with that off-ice official that's in charge of the series, and Terry Gregson and Coley Campbell. It's nonstop, the gamesmanship that would be going on there. And we only get a tidbit of it in the media.
Have you been watching any of Guy Boucher's post-game press conference?
As little as I have to.
They're kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, I like them.
There's some guys who are interesting. I wouldn't put Claude Julien in the must-see category.
But Boucher, you get a kick out of.
You do.
I do. I get a kick out of.
Because it's almost, the best way I can describe it is, it's like he's playing himself in a movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And last night he was talking about the penalties, mm-hmm, and was going through and saying, well, they had more power plays than we did, so... Yeah. What's the answer to your question? We'll take some phone calls in the next block.
Oh, great.
Talking about Vancouver, Tampa Bay, Boston, or the MasterCard Memorial Cup, whatever suits your fancy. We'll open it wide up. We'll also chat with Pat Quinn. He works for the Edmonton Oilers, but he is also the last man to coach the Vancouver Canucks in the Stanley Cup
Final. He
doesn't
work for the Edmonton Oilers. How do you work for somebody that
hockey
hires
advisor?
You? What?
Senior hockey advisor.
Yeah, right. We'll ask him how that job's going. After they fire you, how do you stay as a... It's like Hitchcock. He was an advisor in Columbus, but they wouldn't let him in the building. Tough to be an advisor. You can be an advisor, but you're not allowed to come to any of our games. Okay. So he's an advisor. I was an advisor, too, the last year they had to pay me.
Just got an email. Kay Whitmore is the supervisor in the Tampa Bay Boston series.
Poor K.
That's from John Shannon.
Poor K. He's been busy. But the supervisor, as John Shannon would know, because he would have been down around there with his headsets on when he was a TV guy, seeing the steady flow of traffic going in and out of the referee supervisor's rooms.
When we continue, your phone calls, your opinion, send us an email, fan590, hockeycentral at fan590.com. We're interested to hear from you, and then we'll chat with Pat Quinn on Hockey Central at noon. Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Join online at fan590.com. Now more Hockey Central at noon. Simulcast on Sportsnet at Sirius Channel 157. On Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
We have two open lines right now. Give us a call at 1-888-666-0590, 416-870-0590, or *590 on your mobile. We don't do this very often, but with the Eastern Conference Championship Series going to a Game 7, the Vancouver Canucks through to the Stanley Cup Championship Series and the MasterCard Memorial Cup all underway, we thought we'd offer you an opportunity to pick the brain of Doug McLean. Even just state an opinion. Don't have to ask a question. Darren Millard, Doug McLean in the Hockey Central studio. Bad news for the Owen Sound attack. Wilson and Hishon are both out, so they'll miss their captain and their best player for the must-win game against the Kootenay Ice. The tiebreaker tonight, 7 o'clock on Rogers Sportsnet.
Devastating, because, to lose your, two of your better players is devastating. But it's also a situation where they played last night in a very physical game against an arch rival, and then to have to come back again tonight and battle. I'm not sure what they have left in the tank. I mean, they're a hardworking,
resilient. It looked like they were going to get blown out of the building last night.
Oh yeah, I mean, really. I mean, I give them big time credit, and killing off penalty after penalty. I mean, it was their own fault though. Not all of them were their fault. 1-for-9. They kept them 0-for-7, and finally St. Mike's Major Mississauga score on a 5-on-3. Extraordinary penalty killing, shorthanded, banged up. I'd love to see Owen Sound pull it out. But I feel a little bit for Kootenay too, because, they start off 0-2. It's a tough suspension, although I thought it was deserved. Tonight has the makings of a tough game for Owen Sound, I think.
Two things I've never seen. One, a guy try and deliberately head the puck in the net.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that wasn't allowed.
How could you not realize that wasn't allowed?
If you can do that,
yeah.
Good on you.
But it's no different than punching it in.
I think it is different. I just liken it to soccer rules. You can't punch a ball in, but you can head the ball. No. I don't know why.
Okay. No, it doesn't.
And the second one, a goalie interference penalty at center ice.
Yeah.
If
you're going to have goalie interference, probably better off to have it in the paint.
Around the net.
Yeah.
A scoring opportunity.
Yeah, exactly.
Go out to Brampton. Steve, you're on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Thanks for having me on. I just wanted to share my experiences at the MasterCard Memorial Cup. I will admit to being a bit skeptical about how it all come off, but I was thoroughly entertained. I met fans all over the country. It was like being at a convention for me.
Yeah, a lot convention, of convention, eh? Some of the conventions I've been at, yeah, I guess it would be similar to a convention.
Well, there's people that travel.
What type of work does he do that the conventions are like that?
Well, ask him, Steve.
No, I don't go to conventions. I just felt like I was
at one.
At one.
Oh, okay.
Like the Grey Cup, in a sense, where people
atmosphere.
Travel and hang out. The Junior Hockey Junkies, your buddies from Calgary, Mac.
And you know what? You sit and you're watching the game, and I'm sure it's what Steve's talking about. You see Kitchener Rangers jerseys. You see Oshawa Generals jerseys. You see teams in the Western League. I mean, fans from all over, as Steve said, fans from all over Canada love this, and the U.S. love this tournament. It's a great tournament, and it's great hockey.
I'm not sure if the people sitting in the first three rows right behind our set agree with Steve that it's been a really great experience for them.
Oh, they've enjoyed it, I think.
Listening to you guys yell and joke laugh.
Well, that's you're supposed to have fun when you go to hockey games. That's why you pay.
You're right about that. Pat Quinn's coming up, former coach of the Vancouver Canucks.
There are some fans that have taken what we say very serious. I've noticed that.
There's big ears.
Oh, big ears.
Especially that Owen Sound fan last night.
And another guy with big arms that wasn't happy.
Zach,
and a big head.
Welcome to Hockey Central at noon.
Hi, thanks for having me on, guys. I was just wondering who you thought was the better matchup for Vancouver in the finals.
That's a really interesting question. I really believe Vancouver will beat Tampa Bay. I believe that. I don't know why. Tampa Bay's been a really hard team to predict in the playoffs, and they've been good, and I love their talent, and I like lots of things about them. I think the Bruins will be a tougher team for Vancouver to play. I really believe that.
Why?
I don't know. I think the physical part, I think the Chera, the Chera-Seidenberg pair will affect the Sedins. Again, I think they will match up against the Sedins and will challenge the Sedins, and I think we could see a Sedin drop-off if they play the Bruins. I think the Sedins would be better against Tampa Bay. I really believe
that. Tampa Bay's got a lot of mileage out of their shutdown pair.
No, I know that, but I still think they don't have a shutdown pair like Chera. And I think the Sedins would be bothered by Chera. I think he could handle them. And I think you'd see a Sedin drop-off. And if that happens, Kessler, has he got enough left in the tank? How can you question him? You can't. I just think the Bruins... I remember watching the Bruins game in Vancouver this year where they manhandled them. There's two more of my bosses just walked by. There's 1,000 guys that are my bosses in this building.
Who are those guys?
I think his last name's Pelly. And another guy, the guy that with the scarf around his neck, the fashion guy.
Bender.
Yeah.
Well, phone line is open, 1-888-666-0590. So we've got one extra line available, 416-870-0590, star 590.
That Boston would be tougher or not?
No,
you don't, eh?
Only because I think Tampa Bay has the firepower that they may be able to get to Luongo a little bit more.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And Chara is fantastic, but Tampa Bay's blue line and their ability to defend has impressed me, has overachieved compared to my expectations.
And I know I shouldn't probably say this, but Thomas still scares me. I'm just not comfortable with him in the net with the bad goals he gives up. I'm just not comfortable. And I know he was so good in the Montreal-Philly series, but man, 10 bad goals in a series is... And I hate to say that because he's been so good. And he's one of the reasons they're there, that they're this far. But
do you have a preference in cities?
Yeah, big preference. I want to be in Vancouver and Boston. Maybe that's why I'm saying what I'm saying.
Just shorter flight?
Shorter flights. And Boston this time of year is a very nice place to be. You're on the river. I mean, Tampa's a little hot. And I spent 6 months in Tampa there a few years ago when we were in the ownership thing. And Tampa's okay.
You hook up with your buddy Jack Edwards, the play-by-play guy of the Boston Bruins on Nesson?
Yes.
Get a jug of tea and go down and pour it in the water.
And then go to the Black Rose Tavern after that. Brian Murray and I, 10 years in a row, we used to stop at the Black Rose because one of Brian's great friends, Jimmy O'Connell, from Florida, was a big Black Rose fan. So if you've never been to the Black Rose in Boston, it's a must.
The only game in town tonight is in the MasterCard Memorial Cup, the tiebreaker between the Western Hockey League champion Kootenay Ice and the OHL title holders from Owen Sound. Jason from Owen Sound, welcome to Hockey Central at Noon.
Afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for taking the call, and also thank you for all the time you guys are spending talking about Memorial Cup. I wish junior hockey got this coverage all the time.
Well, we've been asking for it all year, and the bosses just won't allow us, but now they've kind of freed us up. Fabro, he's held us back all year.
Yeah,
well,
fabulous Fabro. He's not a big... He wants us to talk about Stouffville Junior C Team or whoever he's the play-by-play guy for. Well, is there any radio jobs open in Owen Sound? Because Millard would love to get into play-by-play.
Well, our Fred Wallace does a fabulous job. He's top-notch. But really quickly, I just wanted to touch on, if you don't mind, the two guys we have out, Hishon and Wilson. I don't believe McNabb intentionally tried to injure Hishon, but I was somewhat frustrated with Knobloch's comments, the coach of Kootenay, after the game saying Hishon embellished it. Anytime there's a head contact, you know, I don't know about embellishment or what have you. It's one of those things that these are still kids that are still maturing, et cetera. Boy, oh boy, it's pretty dangerous. Along with the Wilson one, real quick, it was shown numerous times on your highlight packages, and he actually got drilled in the numbers directly from behind.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, that's the one that I have more of an issue with, because all the kids watching it, they do that in minor hockey, they're gone for the game. That's quite a dangerous play, even though Wilson was up against the boards.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I'll guarantee you one thing. In the Hishon situation, there was absolutely no embellishment. That kid got rocked, and from everything I've heard about Hishon, he's a tough, tough guy, and embellishment never entered my mind. Knobloch probably said it to...
I didn't hear the word embellishment. I do know that he thought that Hishon stumbled right before he got hit, and that's why his head was at a lower level.
And as far as the hit from behind, you hate seeing the hits from behind. I hate it. Was it a suspendable act? I'm not sure. I don't think so.
Officiating has been a big topic of conversation, both the National Hockey League and the MasterCard Memorial Cup. That's
the linesman.
The bedeviled blue line at the one end at the Hershey Center has been the site of a couple of controversial calls. As we go back to the phone lines, and Ernie from Belle River, you're on Hockey Central at noon.
Thanks for taking my call. My question is on the officiating. I think it's been kind of bad in the NHL, and I'm just a hockey fan. I don't follow any one team. I like to watch a good game. What do you think needs to be done to make it better, or do you think it's as good as it can get? I'll get off and let you talk.
Well, you know what? It's been a discussion for 25 years that I've been in the league. It's constantly trying to be worked on, tweaked. Supervisors, head of officiating, clinics, training camp. I mean, guys make mistakes. It's as simple as that. I mean, you meet NHL officials, guys, some of them have a tremendous feel for the game. Some don't have as good a feel. Some are better than others. There's none of them that don't work hard at their profession.
Now, Guy Boucher hinted that he felt that one official in particular maybe had given them the raw end of the stick a couple of times during this postseason. And working last night, he expected or floated it out there that maybe they were due to get a break.
You know what? There's so much gamesmanship by the coaches. You can't go by what they say if the truth was known. And everybody feels they're getting the short end of the stick.
Yeah, every time I screwed that phrase up.
You know, I mean, so I'm not buying it. Is there referees you hope that aren't doing your games when you're a coach? Darn right.
Now, did you ever go?
I used to hate seeing some guys show up. I used to hate it, but I don't think there was an intent there to deliberately do that.
Time for a couple more. Steve in Oakville, welcome.
Hey guys, my question's about the Red Wings there with the Rafalski retirement and that cap money freed up. And Lidstrom still sort of on the fence. Do you see Detroit doing anything to address that? I mean, I've seen some rumors on the internet about them taking a run at Shea Weber or maybe even Christian Ehrhoff.
Yeah, Bieksa and Ehrhoff are out there. Who was the other name you mentioned?
Shea Weber.
I don't see Weber at all. I don't see an offer sheet going on Weber. And it doesn't matter if they do a Weber offer sheet because Nashville will match the offer and then it would be a trade scenario. So it's not going to be Weber. He's an RFA, in my opinion. And I think Ehrhoff and Bieksa. Kenny Holland doesn't like it. He has never spent money on a defenseman unless the guy is a point producer. I mean big money on a defenseman unless he's a point producer. So Ehrhoff was close to, what, a 50-goal guy, a 50-point guy? Bieksa, more of a Stewart type of guy. I would see Ehrhoff, because of his point production, being the guy that Kenny would target. And the style of game he plays versus a Bieksa style, I would see Ehrhoff being more of a target for the Red Wings. And of course, they're not afraid to go after Europeans. They've had great success with them within that core group. I see Ehrhoff as more of a guy for the Detroit Red Wings than Bieksa. And I don't see Weber in the picture.
Mike Babcock was on this program yesterday on Hockey Central at noon and said, we'll have to decide whether there's somebody out there that we can give that money to or whether we're patient, hold on to it for another year until somebody comes up.
Who's patient in the NHL?
I know. You don't hear that very often.
No,
Pat
you don't.
Quinn, the head coach of the Vancouver Canucks, who lost in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final in 1994. He joins us to reminisce and talk about what we can expect this time around from the Canucks as they await the winner of Boston and Tampa Bay. It's Hockey Central at noon on Rogers Sportsnet and Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Now more Hockey Central at noon, simulcast on Sportsnet and Sirius Channel 157 on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
Sorry to those we didn't get to on Hockey Central at noon, Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590. Simulcast on Rogers
Sportsnet. Good calls. Good callers. I like the Owen Sound call. I thought it was a real good call.
Kissing up, are you?
No.
A little afraid that maybe the Owen Sound fans might get ornery tonight?
No.
Should they fail to produce a victory against Kootenay?
Not that at all. I just thought it was a good call about... I mean, I feel bad because they're missing their two key guys. I really feel bad for them. Because it makes it challenging for them.
I was disappointed, Darren Millar, Doug McClain, by the way. I was disappointed in St. John sitting down two healthy players or players that could play the other night in the game against Kootenay. I was critical of that. But you pointed out last night when Garrett Wilson gets hit, that's why Gerard Glant made the decision.
Exactly.
Because you all of a sudden you lose one of your best players.
I thought it was a good move by Gerard. And I know there's a risk you lose in the final. I understand
that. Well, you're his buddy too.
Yeah, I'm his buddy too. But I'm also, I just think it was a smart move. I would have done it. I know that. I would have rested my top guys. I really would have, especially if they were sick or banged up or any. I mean, this is a grueling week of hockey, the Memorial Cup. It is a grueling week of hockey for the bottom teams.
And now Owen Sound will play without their top scorer and their captain in a must-win game, the tiebreaker at the MasterCard Memorial Cup.
Exactly.
Guy that knows all about that tournament. He's a Memorial Cup champion and was there as an owner a couple
Memorial
of years ago.
Memorial Cup champion with who?
Edmonton. Am I not right, Pat?
That's correct.
Edmonton Oil Kings.
Beat the Brandon Wheat Kings on their way to the championship.
And who did you beat in Ontario?
Estevan
Bruins.
Yeah, well, sure. You said Ontario,
yeah.
And I was thinking who we had. It was a different structure then. You eliminated in the East. You eliminated in the West. So we had to go through BC, Saskatchewan, and all the provincial jurisdictions out west. And actually, Edmonton didn't play in a junior league. They played in an intermediate league because there was no junior in Alberta at the time. So we played BC. We played Trail in BC, and then Estevan. And then, which was really a Saskatchewan all-star team. That's the way they did it. And then, as you mentioned earlier, Brandon.
What year was that, Pat?
That was 62, 63. And the club out of the East was Niagara Falls. And that's where all those good Boston Bruins players of the 70s came out of, because Estevan was a Bruins team, and so was Niagara Falls at the time.
Freddie Stanfield, would he have been on that team?
Stanfield would have been on the Eastern team,
right.
But he wasn't. That's normally where you might remember that Stanfield come out as a Blackhawk.
Oh, that's right. St. Catharines Blackhawks, Freddie Stanfield. Yeah.
Chatting with Pat Quinn, the familiar voice, former coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, and took the Vancouver Canucks to the Stanley Cup final back in 1994.
I have one quick question on this series before we really get in. Do you remember Nick Kyprios playing in that series, Pat?
No, I don't think he was on the ice at all.
Appreciate that.
The one shift
he was on with his boots after getting the cup.
Well, the one shift he tried to take, he still had those runners on. You know.
Okay, I just wanted to firm that up because I thought that I remember watching this series and I don't remember, but he shows that he flaunts that ring in front of my face on a daily basis. So I just wanted to clear that up before we get into some serious discussion.
I know Pat
Quinn
is tough enough to talk trash about Nick Kyprios. I'm a little worried about you, Mac.
Oh no, I can talk it.
So Game Seven, that was a team that gained momentum throughout the playoffs and the great start and the thrilling first round victory. This is a little bit different in Vancouver, where they expected to win and they expected to get to this championship level. Are you in Vancouver right now?
I am, yes.
Have you noticed a different vibe with the fans compared to 94?
Well, it's grown. I mean, it certainly was exciting then. I've watched... You know, I started back in this market in 1970 and watched the growth of hockey here and the interest in the Canucks. In 1970, I was on that first, the 40th, it's the 40th year now, but the first year. And people would come to the rink and we filled the building, but it wasn't to see us, it was to see Toronto and Montreal and any of the original six. So I don't know if there are real hockey fans here. In those days, and I watched it grow over the years. Obviously, I was here for that spell through the late 80s and 90s, and it started to grow. We got the crowds back, but now it's vibrant through the cities and all ethnicities. It's amazing to see the faces in this crowd right now, and they're all embracing the Canucks and certainly Stanley Cup sort of fever.
You know what? It is amazing, Pat, you know, during the Olympics in Vancouver. And I've never experienced Vancouver like you have, but it has become an amazing hockey town. And we've saw Calgary in the Red Mile. We've seen Montreal in the playoffs. And we've seen Toronto when you were here and they had the run. But Vancouver is pretty unique. It seems like they're a rabid fan, like, and totally into it. And I, you know what? I've never seen anything like it as I experienced last year in Vancouver at the Olympics, but also just watching the Canucks this year about how crazy they've become about this hockey team.
Well, really, and a lot of that, interestingly for me, and trying to be a watcher, you know, because once you're with an organization, you always kind of hope for them. And so this year in my role with Edmonton, I got to go to a number of games early in the season. And it's interesting, watch the evolution of this thing. And I'd seen this crowd before, and I certainly have seen the media in this market. They are ready at any time to jump off the Lionsgate Bridge.
Yeah.
And they promote that, the media does. And they'll put you up on the pedestal, and then the next thing you know, they're lined up on the bridge. So that kind of has affected the fans here. I mean, they get that all poor us sort of thing going on because they get so excited that, yes, we got a Stanley Cup team, which they promoted. I don't know if the team promoted it, but certainly the media did, predicting that this was a club that could go to the Stanley Cup. And none of us watching at the time were convinced of that. Early on, I thought their defense was too weak. I liked the depth at forward but not good enough. And then they made two key acquisitions, I think, both pluggers, both workers, both the things guys brought, the things that I thought the Canucks missed in the past. That's that intensity and level of grit that playoff teams that win have to have. They certainly filled out that roster really well. That's one acquisition that I think Gillis did terrific at to recognize his team and what their needs were going to be. And the defense, they're so mobile, and I think their coach has done an excellent job and given them some structure that they all now believe in. But you're absolutely right about this crowd here. The passion's all over the place. Heck, they're painting their faces and they. But they're ready to jump. I mean, when they hit those games against Chicago, all of a sudden they were bums. Essentially, the first trip of the year when they're going down the coast, you got Elaine, who's done a terrific job, in my opinion, here. They made that coast trip. They didn't do as nearly as well, and this was the Stanley Cup team going down on their first trip of the year to the West Coast to play San Jose, Anaheim, and L.A., and they didn't do very well.
Yeah.
And right after that, they're saying, well, they're not listening to them anymore. They're not, and you've been through that. That's such a pile of crap, but they promote that. Tony Gallagher was all over that stuff, you know. Yeah. I hate even mentioning this guy's name, but
I got a few guys like that in my list too.
You know what I'm surprised at is we're with Pat Quinn, coached the Vancouver Canucks at the 1994 Stanley Cup Final. He says when you're with an organization, you kind of pull for them. That's the exact opposite from you, Mac.
What's that?
Wait, are you still cheering for Florida? You still cheering for Columbus?
Well, it's hard to cheer for them. They never get into any meaningful games. It's hard to know whether since I left, they have hardly won a game, either one of them. Hey, Pat?
That's right.
Pat, going back to your team in the Stanley Cup Finals, I was watching the highlights on Hockey Night in Canada the other night, and I forgot about how good Kirk McLean was in that series. I mean, they had a highlight package on him in one game that with those little pads and that little equipment, I mean, you talk about a reflex save situation. It was an amazing goaltending performance, wasn't it?
It really was. Well, you know, we don't even get out of it. You could go back and look at lots of series you played in. For example, in 88 or 89 when Flames won the Cup, they shouldn't have got by us because the goal was kicked in double overtime by Joel Otto, who was in the crease. They're supposed to get nullified, but they advance and go on. So there's the one break going one way. Then in Game 7 in 94, Kirk makes that incredible save sliding across in overtime that gives us a chance to hold back in, and then we get the great play Brown to Burry, and he scores. So You're absolutely right. He was phenomenal. And the other game I distinctly remember, we were much better than the Leafs. We were much better than Dallas. But when we started the Rangers' opening game, I mean, they should have won it 10-0. And if it wasn't for Kirk McLean, you know what? He was just spectacular in that. And, you know, he was, we had, it's interesting here, they say, oh, there was no expectations. Well, we all had expectations because for about 4 years, we were among either first or second in the conference out here, out west. And, you know, we expected that we had a team that could go to the Stanley Cup Finals and perhaps win it, because there are no guarantees, as you know. But they talk about expectations for this team. Well, you know, at the beginning of the year, other than the media saying that they were a Stanley Cup team, they had to go on and prove it and grunge it out and show that they had great depth, which they do have. And, you know, so Kirk, jumping back to Kirk, I mean, he was spectacular. And we also had significant commitment from guys that were good, solid players. We had great depth up front, and we were able to play four lines. And but our big players, Courtney scores the three overtime games in that Calgary series to finish it off, to save our lives, because we were down 3-1.
Jeff Courtney still tells me about how good he was in that series.
Yeah, well,
every time I meet him.
Yeah, Jeff didn't have any.
Jeff says, "Doug,
that.
I'd like
but
to introduce."
He was good.
Jeff says, "I'd like to introduce you to my friends here. This is so and so with Nickelback, and I scored the winning goal in overtime for the Canucks." Oh, okay, well, Jeff. Thanks.
That sentence goes together.
Pat, we got to fly here.
Thanks,
but,
Pat.
We're on
great
our way.
Great to hear you.
After the MasterCard Memorial Cup concludes on Sunday, we're on the jet out there for games 1 and 2 in the Lower Mainland. We'd love to hook up with you.
We'd hope to see you down around Robson and Burrard. We'll be down there, Darren and I and Nick.
I'll be the guy with my face painted.
Okay, bud.
Yeah,
take four.
So keep her going.
Take care,
buddy.
Guys.
There's Pat Quinn, a good
That's
friend.
Great, Pat. Love talking to Pat. Love talking hockey with Pat. I met him at the Charlottetown Airport last summer, and it's just great to talk hockey with Pat. It really is. He was down there to a charity event, and we happened to be on the same flight coming back to Toronto. It was great to spend some time with him. Great hockey man.
Do you think he goes home and tells Sandra and his buddies, ran into Doug McLean at the Charlottetown Airport?
I'm sure
he's
he does.
A great guy to talk hockey with.
I'm sure it's complete the opposite. Sandra, I met that jerk McLean. Oh, there's another one of my bosses going by. Jeez, there's a lot of bosses here.
Who's the big boss?
Like, I don't know. Everybody introduced themselves to me. Hi, I'm your boss.
We should figure out.
Scott Wingate's my boss. Yeah. Moore's my boss. Pelly's my boss. Bobby Torrens is my boss.
Bender.
They're all. Is it
Bender's,
Bender's
boss.
My boss?
Milman.
Deborah Brunt.
By the way,
Bob McCowan.
Anybody that can walk into the studio. We'll listen to them. We're back at the Hershey Center tonight, the MasterCard Memorial Cup tiebreaker. We're getting serious now. Lose, you're done. Kootenay, champions of the Western Hockey League against the OHL title holders from Owen Sound. See you at 7 o'clock.